This is Will's Band of the Week for April 4th, 2021. Hello, and welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with Jason from the Green Monster Studio of Monona.
Hey, hey.
And Reese in a special makeshift Portland studio, which is really looking cool. Some art, what do we call it? Art studio, right?
Yep. And to all the listeners, just imagine the coolest studio in the world, and that's definitely where I am right now.
It says behind you there's something that says scum.
Yep. Yeah, that's old. I think I got that at a store called Really Good Stuff if you're in Portland. I don't know. I wouldn't recommend going there, but like if you want to, I guess I recommend it.
So you got one good thing there at least.
I've gotten a couple things there. They had a old a old single voice mono synth, like bass synth there a while ago, and then they had a I'm forgetting, it was like a DMX drum machine maybe.
Cool.
I don't know, but yeah, it was a neat little shop, and they also have all sorts of stuff there. It's really good stuff.
All right, so you told people to not go there, and then you told us how cool it is.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm
so now I want to fly to Portland and go there.
Yeah,
if you're flying to Portland, there's better restores to go to, but yeah. that can be on the list. That's in the top 10.
When Jason comes to Portland, you'll be able to tell him where to go. And
yeah, maybe as COVID is over, that's where I'm going.
Maybe a field trip with the little kids to Portland, right, Jason?
Yeah,
put them on an airplane. Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah.
Oh boy.
If I make it back alive, wow, that, I don't know, I'd be shocked.
I think taking kids of any age on a field trip would be just like such a stressful thing to do.
I can't imagine.
You have to keep counting, like if you have a class of like 20 people, keep counting, and then what if you counted and you got 19 instead of 20, and be like, okay, who's missing, who's missing? It'd be just, oh my God, sounds terrible.
Uh-huh.
All right, so, well, more fun stuff. This is great because I love it when people are enthused about something and they recommend it. So Reese had a thing, so it's great. We're going to talk about Reese's thing, and then we had a couple more things that they're going to be fun this week. So I don't have a good music news item or really anything. I guess we're kind of caught up on our COVID updates. So here's the thing, though. You ever, like, all this behind-the-scenes stuff, right? We sound just so in the flow and natural because we're so professional when we do the podcasting. Do you ever have a thing, though, where sometimes leading up to the recording, you might be, like, scrambling around your house or something? Like, it's a completely different thing, and then you have to, like, reset your brain. Like, oh, wait a minute. I'm podcasting now. I'm talking to my podcast friends about music, right? So this just happened to me. So I just was, my wife and I were watching this TV show, and it was like a tearjerker. So we're watching the show, you know, and you get to the end, and we're just both sitting on the couch like, oh God, you know, and you're like in this different world because you're just like overwhelmed by this show. And I'm like, okay, time to podcast, do the podcast now. To completely switch gears. So, but it's, Chris always makes the good pop culture references. You know, he's not constrained by music talk. So I'll do a thing like Chris. It's a TV show we were watching. And if you have HBO, it's on HBO. It's called It's a Sin. And it's about, basically, it's about AIDS in London in the 80s and this group of friends affected by AIDS. So, you know, and it's a 5-part series. So, like, you know, when you start watching it, this is probably going to be sad because it's a show about AIDS, right? So, yeah, we just watched number 5 out of 5, and yeah, it lived up to the billing. And it's well done, though. You know, and sometimes it's like, for me, it's like a little bit of a mental block to like start watching a show that you know is going to be really heavy and sad. But it's very well done, so I would recommend it.
I've only been watching really fluff type things lately. I just like, yeah. So I've been watching an ABC sitcom called Fresh Off the Boat. Has anybody ever seen that?
I haven't. No.
It's pretty good. It's really silly, and it's set in the 90s, a family in Orlando, Florida. It's pretty good stuff.
That's cool.
I'll leave it there. It's on Hulu if you ever want to just sort of veg out nightly.
That's the one that I don't have, because I feel like I've got Netflix, Amazon Prime, and HBO, and I'm like, do I really want to get another service? But sometimes I do the free trial, you know, if there's like one thing I want to watch. So.
Yeah, sure. I think you can get it through like a Spotify account or something like that. I can't remember how we have it. I don't know. There's too many subscriptions.
There are way too many.
I've been holding off on signing up for HBO. I'm always tempted by HBO and HBO Max and HBO Go. And
what? I think it's all HBO Max now. At least like subscription thing. And I held out. I never had any HBO for like years and years. And then like 2 years ago, something came out that I really wanted to watch. Might have been that Chernobyl thing. There's another thing, right? You're going to watch a show about like people's faces melting off. Like, why would you even start watching that? But, you know, it's still pretty good.
It's a good show, though.
Did you watch that, Reese?
We started it, and Connie couldn't take it. So I think we made it like an episode and a half. And I was going to go back and finish it because I was really into it. But yeah, I'm going to have to get HBO again and go back. And
Reese, are you watching fluff or serious stuff these days?
I'm watching a lot of fluff. I just watched the third episode of Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
I just watched that also. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's some high quality fluff, even if it's like low key military propaganda. But it's still entertainment. So
it sure is.
It's good stuff.
They know what they're doing.
Yeah, gotta love Madripoor, or the fake city in Southeast Asia. I think.
I don't know that show, but there's something to be said for good old fashioned entertainment value, right?
Yeah, I'd say. I don't know. I stan Bucky and Sam. So for everyone who understands that, way to go.
Now it's like,
I don't know. It's like, that might be too zoomer for everyone.
Code for the cool people, and I'm not cool enough. Oh well. It's okay.
I just bought tickets to my the second live stream that I paid for. It's a pre-recorded one. Actually, I've bought two tickets now in the last like week or two. I've got one for Chad Van Galen.
Oh, cool.
Who we'll be talking about later, and then Granddaddy, like the guy from Granddaddy, is doing one, and it just keeps popping up on my Facebook feed like a sponsored ad. And finally, I was like, okay, you got me.
You mean you finally just broke down and the ads worked?
Yeah, they just kept after me. It's like, three of your friends like Granddaddy. You want to go to this.
Yeah, you just, you surrender that, I guess you're right, I am the demographic. Go ahead, bring it to me. Yeah. Yeah. Anurag was talking last week about the Waxahachie thing that he paid for. So we'll have to hear from him about that.
That's right.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say that you had bought tickets for an actual live show.
No, I'm not that bold yet.
No, I haven't done that yet either.
I'm hoping that my drummer friend will be getting the vaccine soon, that we'll be able to get together in the same room and play music together again. Yeah. That's my main goal. And then we'll talk about seeing live music again.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. If you need more COVID news, I learned that the age in Wisconsin for vaccine is 16 plus now.
Yeah. And
starting next
still
week.
Still not that in Oregon, though. So
you could fly back here just to get a vaccine.
I'll fly back for a day, get the vaccine, and fly back here.
Be an expensive vaccine.
Steve Brown here also edited or changed the orders too. Just got an email today about that. Still don't think I'm what's the word, eligible yet.
Yeah.
But I might be able to just lie and say that I'm a TA, and then I'll get it through my educational practices. So
there you go.
Don't tell anyone. Don't tell Joe that I'm trying to get it early.
I won't tell. Okay? I won't tell.
I think Joe is all for everyone getting it.
Yeah, I think he is.
As quickly as possible.
I agree.
Yep.
Any means possible. Yeah.
You'll be getting it soon. Yeah. It won't be long. I mean, the floodgates are going to open. The thing is that making all these people eligible in Wisconsin, I just wonder if it's just getting an appointment might even be harder then, because everybody's going to be going totally nuts. But there are a lot more appointments being created too, though. So we're getting there.
Yep.
Yep.
Well, should we talk about the first artist?
Sure.
Let's do it.
I had heard this name. I'd heard this artist's name and maybe just read a little bit. And then Reese just mentioned it to me a few days ago. Ian Sweet. And Reese said, I think you'd like this. You should listen to this. And so Reese is going to tell us about the new album by Ian Sweet, which is a pseudonym, right?
I don't know. I think it is. The album is called Show Me How You Disappear. And I first heard about it actually by listening to Apple's recommended playlists for me. So just as Facebook tells you which bands to listen to, Apple tells me which bands to listen to.
Was it on a rock? I think somebody recently was just saying the same kind of thing, though, that he was listening to something and then it recommended based on that he listened to something else, and then he really liked it. So it's like, hey, however you can find stuff is great.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't know, I really like the album, and I've been listening to their 2016 album too, a little bit. And yeah, Ian Sweet, great artist.
So Ian Sweet is a woman named Jillian Medford from Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm. Yep. They went to the Berklee College of Music in Boston.
Oh man, I was reading about somebody else who went there too. It's like, don't you always kind of feel like for an indie rocker, they're sort of overeducated if they go to the Berklee College of Music? it's like that's so academic. They could be playing, you know, sophisticated jazz or something. But but it's good if somebody really, any person who puts their efforts toward like an indie rock type thing, that makes them cool, as far as I'm concerned. So,
indie cred.
Yeah. So Reese, thanks for bringing this to our attention. So let's play a track.
Oh, do you want me to pick the track?
Yeah. This was pressure's on. Unless you want to defer. I mean, sometimes we have this strategy where you want somebody else to pick it. So, because you think maybe they'll pick one of your favorites, and then you get to pick another one.
No, I'll just pick my favorite, and it's track 3, Sword.
Deadly weapon. How do you make me
Ian Sweet.
I love that song.
It's a great one.
I thought maybe that little like riff thing was like a synth, but I also think it's her voice, and so it's just like so mysterious, and I have no idea which one it
could
be.
Right, that's exactly what I was thinking. Like maybe it's sort of a combination where it's her voice kind of run through a synthesizer. What did you think, Reese?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm listening to like more of their discography. When I listen to this, they have a lot of songs like that where, you know, I think sometimes they just add a lot of distortion or other effects, and it sort of mixes the instruments together a little bit, and it's hard to tell which sound is coming from where. And I don't know, I like that aspect of it. I think it adds mystery and intrigue to the music.
For sure.
Yeah, it's cool. Very cool. This is another album where and there have been a few recently this way for me, where the first time I listened to it, I can't crack through the outer shell, sort of, you know? And then like about three listens in, then you make your way through that outer shell, and then you sort of get immersed in it. And
yeah, because even just like listening to that right now, I'm like, man, this is just so catchy. And I didn't feel that upon the first couple of listens, but you're right.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's definitely catchy, and I don't know, it reminds me of other indie artists I like where they're maybe unconventional sound wise, but the way they put together their tracks still like groovy and catchy, and once you break through that wall of listening to it enough, you get like that little tick and you start humming it, or you start being like, that's, I want to listen to that song again because it's so catchy and it's so nice. And
Ian Sweet. So I'm looking right now at the song list, and there are two that I really want to play. So if I defer it to Jason, maybe he'll pick one of them. What do you think?
Well, Reese already picked the one that I wanted to play, and then so now I get to pick my true number one, like so, which is probably not going to, I'm feeling like it's not going to be, because it's the closer, I See Everything, which is kind of not quite what, you know, it's a little outlier, I think, as compared to the rest of the tracks of the album. So that's the one I'm sticking with.
All right. Number 10, I See Everything.
So
that was a really good pick.
Yeah, I love the ending that, like, this brass comes in and you think it's gonna, like, really build up to something, and then it just, no, it's over. She really tricks me almost every time. I think there's like another 2.5 minutes to that song, but we didn't get it.
I love the sound of that guitar too, right? Yeah. It's a acoustic that's kind of a little distorted and lots of reverb on it. It just sounds so cool.
Yeah,
it's and then really with that great noisy stuff in the background, it's great.
Yeah, well yeah done.
Yeah, I closing tracks don't get enough credit. You know, they're always important, I think, for any album. I don't know, this one really like mellows you out a bit at the end of the album, calms you back down. And it's just, I agree, it's a great track.
There's something to be said for that for sure, because, you know, we have the running joke about the piano ballad at the end. And I think that, you know, a lot of times that does backfire. And so this is an example of a really good one, right?
Right. I mean, and, you know, they could have just replaced that guitar with the piano, and I don't know, it could have been a win-win, but, you know, the distorted acoustic nylon string guitar works in their favor here, I think.
Okay, if Ian Sweet is listening, that would be so cool. Put out an alternate version of that song where instead of the guitar, it's a piano. Oh, it'd be good, right?
And then... Yeah, and then I get my 2.5 minute like crescendo, like build up also.
Yeah,
in that I want the extreme live version.
Oh man,
the longer the build up, the better.
Yeah, I'm liking this more and more. The more we listen,
take over the piano bench when everything like really goes haywire.
Oh, okay. I've got it down to two. So I'll mention the two that I would really like to play, and then Reese, you can pick between these two which one's better. Okay,
okay.
I really like number two because I always do, Drink the Lake, and then also number six, Dumb Driver. Those are just both great. So which one do you think, Reese?
Oh, those are both good. I was gonna pick number seven if I hadn't gone first, so we'll pick Dumb Driver because it's closer to that one.
All right, here we go. I'm a driver when I'm in love. That's Ian Sweet, and the album is Show Me How You Disappear. Excellent recommendation by Reese.
Yeah, well done. I would have never heard this.
Shout out to Reese and Apple Music recommendations.
Yep, random algorithms in the music program. Yeah,
But you gotta love it. I had to pick it out of the algorithm.
Yeah, so I mean, you had
I'll
to respond
take, I'll take
to
some
it.
Of the credit.
Yeah.
You can go to their Bandcamp and get yourself a pair of socks or a face mask or a baseball cap. They have a lot of apparel.
Yeah, I'm looking at that right now.
That's a baseball cap then.
There's some cool stuff. Yeah. So, rather than just respond to the algorithm, you could actually go to their Bandcamp page. It'll be too late for the listeners now when this comes out on Sunday. We'll be way past Bandcamp Friday, but we're recording it this on Bandcamp Friday. So,
right.
Yeah.
Hopefully people took advantage of that.
Friday, I guess.
I saw Jason put a couple things up there. You had some artwork for Bandcamp Friday.
Yeah, I put up
Friday.
Some art prints and almost sold out. It was a very exciting day.
That cassette player thing was really cool.
Yeah.
Reese, you should see that. Jason has a really cool drawing of a cassette player.
Yeah, a little handheld little Panasonic cassette deck thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very fun. Yeah.
It worked out. It was nice to get aside from PayPal taking their cut, they don't care about no Bandcamp Friday.
Yeah,
PayPal,
there's not a PayPal Friday.
But it's nice to get some profits coming in.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yep.
A shout out to Chris, actually. He bought one of the prints. So.
Oh, great. Good.
Yeah.
Good. That's awesome. That's really good.
As a printmaker myself, I always love seeing prints.
Oh, these are like drawings that I had professionally printed. Mm. But yeah. I do enjoy some lino cuts though myself, yeah, as well. But yeah, I had these printed up and sent to me, and they got here yesterday just in time for Bandcamp Friday.
Nice.
So cool. Is that on the Red Pants Bandcamp?
Yeah, I think so. Yep.
All right. Go to Red Pants Bandcamp and you'll find Jason's music and his cool merch artwork.
I need socks though. I'm missing out
yeah,
on
Yeah, no socks. Red Pants socks. Like socks that have like a logo of pants on them.
Yeah.
That would be interesting.
Gotta hire someone taste? Just to yeah.
What's
just
that?
Someone who you gotta hire someone to make red pants for you. It's plain red pants.
And yeah, actual red pants for the merch. That would be cool. Yeah.
I'd support that idea. Yes, absolutely.
There's too many good ideas, right? You can't do them all.
No, there's not enough time and there's
so many ideas.
Okay. Well, I think we did Ian Sweet justice, and thanks again, Reese. I think a lot of our listeners will like that. I hope so. It's a worthy album for sure. So,
yeah, I hope so.
Let's talk about an indie. He's an indie rock veteran, right? Chad Van Galen.
I'm almost to the point where I would say he's an indie rock legend.
He's been around a while. You know what's funny? I remember back because he dates back to like the early 2000s, probably right when he first started putting stuff out.
Yeah,
I remember at the time. It was right around the same time that Kurt Vile was like starting to put stuff out. And there was something, even though they don't really sound alike at all, I kind of associated them together because it's like a guy's name and he's kind of a, you know, sort of solo artist, but there's a lot going on. It's not just like a folk singer. And they were like
they're
the same vintage to me.
Too.
Yeah. But Chad Van Galen was always a little more, I don't know, eccentric maybe? Is that the right word?
Sure.
And of course, Chad is from Calgary. So who knows what they got going on in Calgary other than I think they got a big heavy metal scene in Calgary, you know, in hockey, like tough guys and, you know. So this is like the artsy side of Calgary.
Yeah, this is that's not quite Chad.
But he's also a legend because he was the producer of one of Jason's favorite albums ever, right? And Grant's also the Women Public Strain album.
He produced both of their albums. That's why I was kind of saying he has legendary status because he produced those and the debut album from Always.
I didn't know that. Well,
yeah,
that's probably something I should know. That's pretty cool.
I remember reading an interview with him where like he was like really trying to get that album to sound as best as he possibly could, and it like kind of pushed his equipment to the breaking point because it's like he's like I don't think he was meant to record that, you know, straight ahead rock sound.
Yeah, the pop rock. Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say that he was like pushing to make it sound weirder, or you know, like put, like more eccentric sounds.
I think with that one, he sort of stepped back. I think with the women, I think it was a lot of collaborating and making them sound as weird as they would let him.
Yeah. So he's got a new album, and how many albums does he have now? At least like probably somewhere in the 5 to 7 range.
Oh, I should have known that. I should have come better prepared.
That's what I'm thinking. Maybe he's got 6 or 7. But this
I think this might be like his 7th or so. And he's got tons of just like off the cuff EPs and cassette releases and stuff that he's done.
And this one has a great title: World's Most Stressed Out Gardener. I love it. Somehow that just seems fitting for him, you know?
Yeah.
You could see him being in like kind of a rural part of Calgary doing some gardening.
I'm sure it's not like the best weather conditions for gardening throughout the year, right?
Maybe not. At some point there was a great video that I saw of his. I should have gone back and done the music journalism this week. I didn't. But there was this great video of him in his home studio with just like contraptions and just all this great like homemade weird stuff.
I was just listening to like a podcast that he did recently. I forget who it was with, but he was talking about just, you know, dumpster diving and throwing his kids in the dumpster to pull junk out, and he brings it home and makes instruments out of it.
Yeah, so he makes homemade instruments.
These crazy sounds that you hear, he's making out of dumpster dived garbage.
Yeah, and just banging and rattling on cans and stuff, and just he loves to do that kind of thing. It's great.
Yeah.
So I think Jason, you should get the first pick on this one.
So I'm gonna try to win over some people. I'm gonna do a really pretty song, because I think Chad is really weird and it's really hard to get people to come on board sometimes. So track number 4, Where Is It All Going? It's my pick.
Chad Van Galen. Yeah, that would have been my first pick too, for the same reasons. Nice. It's like a pretty song, and it's still in the character of Chad Van Galen. Sometimes doesn't it seem like he's recording his own voice like 25 times on a single track? He makes possible, it sound like this big chorus of himself.
Yeah, I love it. Fun. I was playing it in the car this afternoon when we were driving to pick up some dinner, And my kids were like, oh, can you turn this off? This is so boring. I had to put on something a little more catchy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it. It reminds me a bit of Andy Schaaf, another Canadian musician. Yeah, the organ in it is nice. Feels like I would be sitting at a resort on a drinking a martini or something, or relaxing by the beach. It's very nice.
He definitely uses a lot of different sounds, doesn't he? And the, you know, from track to track, it is it's not all the same at all. It's kind of unpredictable.
Yeah, it's kind of what I've grown to just love about him is you never know what you're going to get. You know, sometimes he has like pretty focused albums where it's like, you know, weird garage rock thing, or but this one kind of reminds me a lot of his album from, I don't know, maybe his mid to late 2000s, Soft Airplane. It was like the first one that I really got into by him, and it's really kind of varied like that, and it's got a lot of those homemade instrument sounds. I feel like he kind of maybe went away from that for a bit, but yeah, this one's filled with all sorts of just crazy sounds, and it's just you have no idea what they are.
Yep. Reese, do you want to make a pick?
Yeah. Let's do track number 7, Plant Music.
So you have to imagine that even though that sounds like a cello, it might be one of his homemade instruments, right?
Yeah.
I'm just picturing like a couple pieces of wood kind of scrapped together, you know, just with something stuck in between. That's the kind of thing that he likes to do, which is really cool.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a lovely, like, sort of degraded string sound to it. And
right.
That song in particular, you know, it's pretty simple in the layering of instruments, but the this is complex composition to it too, I think. And yeah, that one might also be another one you don't want to play for your kids.
Oh yeah, kids. Oh yeah, my god, that's so boring.
They checked out like two notes and
yeah.
But I really I'm glad you played that. I really like the instrumentals on this one. They're all really cool.
There's that one that's all like synthesizers, right? Is that Earth from a Distance? I think so.
Yes.
I
feel like that's like sort of a lost like Flaming Lips track, maybe.
Yeah.
Like I could hear Wayne Coyne in the background, like, you know, his hand on his chest saying something about heaven and earth.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
With tons of reverb and yeah, but
yeah.
Yeah.
So I think for my pick, like I think there's one that's like super catchy, which is number 12, Samurai Sword. But instead of playing that one, I'm going to play one that's catchy, but not quite as like blatantly outwardly catchy. But it's a fun one. Number 10, Golden Pear.
Okay.
Okay. drug lord. She had a mermaid skeleton, and the moon base was gone, and the Mars base was also gone. So the solar system laughed, ha ha, and all the sun could do was yawn. Of my jeans, and now my shorts fit perfectly. I got my haunted keychain, it opens every door in the galaxy, and you've seen its true shape, and you understand the form, but can you stick the landing? Oh yeah, when the pressure is on.
So that one has some of those wacky sounds, yeah. Some squeaks and rattles and percussion and stuff.
And some very silly lyrics.
Right. That sort of sounds like a kid's song, like the beginning had the kid in it. So
right.
Try playing that for your kids, Jason. Play that at the daycare. Maybe that could get popular.
Yeah, it sounds like there might be toy piano in there or something. And yeah. Like the out of tune guitar at the start, and any song that talks about jorts is a good song too.
Yeah. Pretty good. Yeah. Well,
there's definitely some more rocking stuff on there too. We played the pretty mellow tracks, but hopefully that'll kind of hook people in.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it's just so, there's a lot of variety to it. So if you sort of buy into his whole thing, it's pretty fun. Pretty cool. Chad Van Galen, the album is World's Most Stressed Out Gardener. And I was reading that he, at least in the past when he's toured, he's got a couple of those guys that were in Women that have toured with him. The guy, Matt Flegel, who is in Preoccupations, and the drummer, too, from Preoccupations.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, that'd be a pretty formidable band, really.
I would love to see them actually play live if they ever get out of Canada again.
I've seen Preoccupations play live, and that's quite a band. Like those guys, are serious, accomplished indie rockers. Very cool. Plus, they're friends of Proto Martyr, so that makes them cool too. Got to throw in the Proto Martyr reference whenever we can.
That's where Scum comes from in my studio.
From the Scum Rise song by Proto Martyr.
Yeah,
there's a Facebook group of Proto Martyr fans called, I think it's called Scum Rise. So I joined it. So every once in a while, Facebook tells me to talk about Proto Martyr. I don't know. I've said this before. I have very mixed feelings about Facebook. In a way, I kind of hate it. But, you know, you can find your useful things on it sometimes. All right. 2 for 2. I'm declaring us 2 for 2. And I'm going to say we're at $0 right now, or slightly even above zero. And so, unless it could be that this next one's going to take us back down below if people don't like it. So I'm a little concerned about that, but
I don't think so.
So this is a thing, this is a Swedish artist, and I was listening to this. One of the blogs I read that, you know, by somebody who's got cool music taste, because I only read blogs by people who have cool music taste. The other ones I don't read because they're not cool enough. And so they were saying, oh, this album, or it played a couple of like advance tracks. They had like links to the Bandcamp or whatever. And it's this artist from Sweden named Mia Maria Johansson. Turns out she's sort of an indie rock veteran in Sweden. She's been playing in bands for quite a while. And I don't know if this is her first solo thing or maybe one of her first solo things. And to me, it sounds so, so 80s. Like, it is completely, sometimes I'm listening to this and I'm like, just put this in back into 1985, you know, synth pop thing. But it also has, she also has this kind of cutting, really cutting voice, which I like, but when I hear it, I think some people aren't going to go for this. They're just not going to like it. So I don't know what the listeners will think, but I don't know. I keep thinking back to that Diane Coffey album that Barrett liked and Anurag hated. So I was like, I don't know how to predict. Except I thought this at least meets the level of just kind of fun and interesting. It has kind of a little bit of a darker edge to it too, which is fun. So I've done all the talking here, so I'll just pick a track and then we'll see what you guys think. The album is called Slay by Mia Maria Johansson. I'm going to go, it's only 8 tracks. It's a short one.
Nice. I like the 8-track album.
Yeah, 27 minutes. So I actually,
perfect.
I really like number 7. So let's play that one, The End.
You can't go back no more, no matter how much you try. You are nothing but promises turned into lies. I must have waited a thousand years, though the end was so near. So now when you finally leave and I finally can breathe, you can't stop me now. Nothing can slow me down.
Mia Maria Johansson on Lazy Octopus Records out of Stockholm, I believe. I think I've heard of something else on that label, but I can't remember what it was. So they have a cool name, so thought I'd mention it.
It just occurred to me that it kind of reminds me of Garbage.
Like on that first song, yeah.
The first Garbage album.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that in a, like, that it's bad, because I really loved the first two Garbage albums.
I liked, like, the first two songs that I heard by Garbage, and then I couldn't, like, I never really liked the whole album. Sacrilege for a Madison person to say that.
Well, I wasn't even a Madisonian at that time. I was just, you know, a teenager bumming around in Oklahoma, and I loved it.
Well, I just to take a little divergence here, or whatever the right word is, I went to see Garbage like 2 or 3 years ago with a group of friends, because we're like, well, let's go. I knew a couple of people who like sort of kind of knew like 1 or 2 members of the band. So it was kind of like a couple degrees of separation. It's like, okay, I'm with the cool people. Let's go see Garbage. And, you know, I kind of was just like, where I was left was that Shirley Manson is a great performer. She's really charismatic and she's really a really good front woman, but the songs just didn't grab me that much. it just so I just kind of kept. I guess I'm really not that big of a fan of this band, but it was all it was okay.
Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah,
you can't love everything.
Yeah, kind of like when I went to see Cheap Trick and I was disappointed too. Like, damn, I remember them as being so cool, and then I went to see them like, I don't know if they're really that great. All right.
Yeah, I had a hard time like thinking of anything that I could compare this to because it's so out of my wheelhouse. Mm-hmm. And but that just popped into my head. But like especially like the first two tracks are super electro pop, I guess.
Yeah.
Type of thing, like really in your face, and I was like, whoa.
Right.
But I don't know. I liked track three, Clowns, because I liked how it kind of went more towards like garage, like the just like rock, guitar rock based, more at home for me. So if I were to pick a track, I would start there.
Okay, let's do it. Number three, Clowns. Got a special guest cat now.
I was gonna say that caught me by surprise. Yeah. That little warble at the end of the song.
Yeah, she's a very sort of vocal cat. That's Mia Maria Johansson. Yeah, that one has a like a cool guitar sound, I think.
Yeah, I thought so too.
One thing I like about the album is the punchy drum sound. There's something kind of cool about it. They got all these creative sound engineers and producers in Sweden, so they come up with some cool stuff.
Yeah, so her the vocals in this one remind me a bit of the vocals in Wolf Mother, a similar sort of
interesting
style. But yeah, that's just what I thought from this track. It's a good one.
Wolf Mother, that's an old, long lost band from like 2005, right?
Yeah, Reese's formative years. Years.
They made you what you are today.
Yeah.
Fun. So, well, Reese, did you have any thoughts about this?
Yeah, I mean, I only listened to it once through, but I liked it, and I agree with it's interesting how they mix in synths in this one, and I agree with it. The guitars are very nice, and I don't know. I feel like I need to listen to it more for me to really soak it in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. Let's do track six, Skoldmon, I think is how you say it. But
yeah, I think it's a
represent their Swedish home country with the song they wrote in that
Right. Yep. Okay, here we go.
Jag drömde om svärd i natt. Jag drömde om strid i natt. Jag drömde jag stred vid din sida, rustad och stark i natt. Det blixtrade hårt ur din hand och trollet föll vid din fot. Vår skara slöt sig lätt och skön ur tigande mörkers hot. Ur tigande mörkers hot. Jag drömde om eld i natt. Jag drömde om död i natt. Jag drömde jag föll vid din sida, banesår i natt. Du märkte i allt att jag föll. Din mun var allvarsam. Min stad i hand, du skällde möll och gick din väg rakt fram. Jag drömde om rosor i natt. Jag drömde min död var fager och god. Så drömde jag i natt. Så drömde jag i natt. Så drömde jag i natt. Så drömde jag i natt.
Of course, we have no idea what she's saying.
You can still hear the reverb soaked guitar and strings, or synthetic strings.
But yeah, yeah, I really like that synth sound.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, it's good.
I like that she didn't have to do every song in English. You know, these people in non-English speaking countries, I know it's really popular to sing in English, and I can't really complain but as an English speaking person, but that's cool when they throw in one or more in their native language, I think.
I agree.
We have some bands we've listened to from Spain, right? And they'll sometimes sing in Spanish. And that's cool. It's all cool.
Yeah.
Well,
it's a solid first release for a 20-year veteran.
I think so.
Artist.
If I did proper music journalism, I would have mentioned the other bands that she's played in.
I looked at that also, and I forgot as well. So you I'm can as much find to blame them. As anyone.
And I think I sampled one of them, and it sounded pretty good too. So it's just there's so much music to listen to. What are you going to do? You know,
I did read that she was sort of heartbroken after a relationship and wrote this entire album on GarageBand, and then they took it into the studio and beefed it up. So yeah,
let's play a random track from. Because I just decided to link this on the Bandcamp album pages. It's the label, Lazy Octopus Records. So the latest release from this label is a band called Adult Oriented Pop. And they've got an album coming out June 2nd. So we have no idea what this is going to be. So this is really exciting. So here's a track.
Okay.
Thank you.
That sounded pretty cool, right? I would listen to more of that. Yeah. So, yeah, we'll be
like
on the lookout for
bass and drums in that.
Right. Yeah. Little Flaming Lipsy, maybe.
Sure.
Yeah.
A little Beta Band. I feel like a little Beta Band in there.
That's a band that that I haven't listened to and that I should. The Beta Band. I had a friend telling me about, you got to listen to the Beta Band.
Oh, yeah. That might be a good Bolt pick sometime. Barrett really loves, I think, used to like the Beta Band.
That's cool.
Maybe that would be a good one to rope Barrett back into an episode.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Talk about Beta Band.
Well, I think I'd like to explore more of this Lazy Octopus Records label. They sound cool. So, including adult-oriented pop.
I think they abbreviate it to AOP sometimes. They have an album that's from 2019 titled Adult-Oriented Pop.
Hmm. Okay, so you're doing your music journalism, Reese, man. You're unstoppable.
It's and if you like 8-track albums that are 30 minutes long, Adult-Oriented Pop is another one to listen to.
It sounds kind of
nice,
irresistible. Yeah. Of course, you got
to
have...
From now on, I only listen to 8-track albums. Yeah. and Chad Van Galen.
Yeah. Either has to be 8 tracks or Chad Van Galen. One or the other. Oh. Yeah. All right.
I was going to note, she has cool album cover. I'll leave it at that. I really like the drawing/painting for her album cover. I thought it was really cool. As a lover of good album covers, I recommend this one.
Yes. Mia Maria Johansson. Yeah, her face is like a pencil drawing, and then her body or shirt or whatever are like these great squiggly, colorful lines. How's that for artistic description?
It's perfect.
Good one.
Future art critic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very sophisticated.
Why are you in my critiques already? Come on.
Will's Art of the Week. New podcast.
Right.
Spinoff.
Yeah, the video version.
There you go.
All right. I think we did all these justice and gave the listeners more than $0. So it's a success once again. So thank you both for taking the time. I'm sure you have way more important things you could be doing.
No way.
Number one on my priority is Will's Bend of the Week. Always.
Yeah, everything else gets thrown out the window.
You just drop everything when you get this chance. Yeah. Absolutely everything just gets dropped.
Kids, feed yourself. I got to listen to this album 5 more times.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's sign off before people turn it off.
Okay.
Sooner. You know, right now they're like their fingers right near the stop or the delete button. So we got to sign off before they do that. Thanks everybody. This is going to be exciting next week. Probably 2 more podcasters and 3 more really fun things. I think we've got, it's just lining up really great, really fun stuff. So we'll talk to everybody again next week with another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
The Will's Band of the Week podcast is brought to you each week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, with correspondents from the United States, Canada, England, and Australia. You can subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or anywhere else podcasts are found. All of our episodes can be found at willsband.net. To contact us, send email to willsband@yahoo.com or find us on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. Our theme music was composed by Grant and performed by Grant and Will. Thanks for listening.